A big reason why people who were neglected as children struggle to form stable, lasting relationships is because of insecure attachment. Now, you might rush in and then get enmeshed with someone you just met, and then kind of freak out when it becomes clear that just because you're sleeping together, the commitment and predictability of a real relationship isn't there, or it isn't there yet. Now, if you're not clear what you want, not just in your mind, but in your words and your actions, you're unlikely to end up in a situation that makes you happy. And the shame of it is, you may be pushing away perfectly good people who like you, but they're put off by the odd behaviors that come out when you're trying to hide how you actually feel, how confused you are and scared. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. My letter today is from a woman I'll call Clara, and she writes, "Hi, Crappy Childhood Fairy. I'm 22, and since I was 11, I've been struggling with love and self-worth matters." I've got my fairy pencil. I'm going to circle things to come back to on a second reading, but let's see what's going on with Clara. "I really hope you can read this and help me with your experience. My parents separated when I was 6, and my mom was an emotionally unavailable caretaker. My father was out of the picture, but kind of present when I was little, and I remember trying to spend time with them at night since they worked all day, but he was tired and he threatened to hit me if I didn't go to bed, and a few times he did, for that or for other things. Later on, he went on to have another family, which he's committed to. Some years later, my mom got a boyfriend, and they traveled a lot around the world. At that time, I was 10, and I felt really lonely, even though I lived with a lot of family members." Oh, golly. Yeah. You got abandoned. "I usually got treated like a punching bag by my grandpa, who was like my father figure. He was sweet with me when I was a little child, but then he began treating me like I was dumb and obnoxious. My aunt also, she could be quite mean and accused me of not letting my mom be happy. And since I cried when she went away and I got treated like a manipulative child, I played rough with my brother, but since he was 8 years older, sometimes when he hit me, it hurt more than it was fun. So I cried, but always I got treated like the problem. And I got yelled at since I was the one with the high-pitched voice. I was the inconvenience. Aside from that, I really looked up to my brother." Oh, I can kind of see where the trouble that might be ahead for you. So then Clara writes, "Well, around when I was 11, I met my first partner in school, and he was 7 years older, and it was a real toxic relationship with textbook manipulation and abuse, which lasted 3 years. Clara, I'm so sorry. I think I even see that as worse than you seem to see it. And you see it as bad, but that's terrible. That's just terrible. You were 11. So 11 to 14, I guess. I'm taking some details out because on YouTube, these details would affect who can see this video because it's so brutal. So bad things happen. And Clara got into drugs and alcohol. She says, "But I didn't have any friends at that time, only that guy and a lot of lies. So when I ended the relationship and told my mom, she said that I had broken her trust and that I would have to put effort to earn it back. So your mom blamed you for getting exploited as a little child while she wasn't paying attention." I'm so sorry, Clara. That's just wrong. She said that I had broken her trust and that I would have to put effort to earn it back, which hurt since I was alone and still a child, and now we have a sort of good relationship. Eventually, I embarked on other love pursuits, a lot of limerence and situationships, none that lasted more than 2 months, and none that was quite healthy until today. So 6 months ago, I started talking with a guy, and we shared interests and found that the pictures he took carried a melancholic view that was quite near my feelings, along with music he shared that was the same that helped me through my adolescence. 2 months ago, so they met 6 months ago, then 2 months ago, they started going out, and he told me he ended an 8-year-long relationship 2 years ago, which ended badly. We spent time together as a couple. He stayed in my house and we slept together every time we met. We went to the movies, to the theater, to parks. We had picnics. We ate out. Sometimes I had to work on some papers. I'm in my 4th year of college, and he slept on my bed while I worked and things like that. Some time ago, we were going to meet, and he canceled at the last minute. I told him I understand, and then we didn't speak for a week until I asked him how he was doing, and everything carried out as always. But now I had a lot more doubts and fears. During the week, I cried a lot, not knowing what was happening, thinking maybe he didn't want to see me again, or maybe he just got bored. 2 weeks ago, we went to see a movie. And the morning after, he asked me if I was more into monogamy or polygamy. And I told him monogamy, and he kissed me and said, nice, me too. And I thought, well, that's a good sign since I want a relationship. And a few hours later, I asked him if he wanted to meet more people, and he said, no, not for now, which made me feel uncomfortable. Like he was with me while somebody else showed up. And I asked if he would tell me if he met someone else, and he said, yes, would you? So it's interesting. There's this escalation into this talk, like it's as if he said to you, no, he does want to meet other people. And you're sort of like, well, will you tell me if it happens? But he said he didn't. I don't know. You've been dating only 2 months. So that's okay. I'm going to zero in on that. And I told him, yes. So he said, would you? And I told him, yes, you will tell him if you're dating somebody else. And we didn't speak more on that. And some hours later, before he went home, you were churning, right? You were like worried about it. I asked him if we could speak so I could clear my mind. And so I told him, we're kind of like a friend with benefits, right? And he responded, sort of, you could say that. And I asked, you don't want any relationships, do you? So these are very leading questions. I'm just wondering about this, Clara. They're very leading. So I'm not sure where you got that. But when you say that, maybe you gave him the impression that that's where you were coming from. But it's hard to say. I wasn't there. It's hard to like write what the conversation really was, isn't it? All right. So you said, so we're kind of friends with benefits, right? And he responded, sort of. You could say that. And I asked, you don't want any relationships? And he told me that he has envisioned being in a relationship with me. After his last relationship, he had lasted with me more than with anyone else he's tried going out with. But that he has fear of commitment and he feels safe with me because I'm kind. And he told me that he couldn't force himself to feel more for me, that he couldn't give me any security of the future, and that he felt uncomfortable because he thought he wasn't the person that could help me with my feelings. I had told him that I felt that he was playing with me, which kind of hurt since I wasn't asking for help or promises, which I made clear. I just wanted to know he had the will to stay and work things out as a couple, which he couldn't say. So Carla, actually, what I hear here, if I'm reading it correctly, is that you feel one way and you're trying to hide it and you're saying this other thing and sort of acting tough and going, so you don't want anything, right? And then you were hurt. You couldn't really, and he went, oh, okay, well, I guess it's casual. What I want to show you, Carla, is you had been dating him for 2 months. It's actually healthy for somebody not to have made a commitment to be in a relationship with you after 2 months. Now, you had decided together that you would have a sexual relationship. So that is one way that sometimes those of us with attachment wounds or just anybody can, you know, we can say yes to that. We can feel like we ought to be fine with it. But then when it happens, there's this attachment there and it feels terrible that the person is not committed to us. And this is why in my dating course and in my program, I teach people, just go slower than you think you need to. Go very slow. Once sex happens, bonding happens for many of us. So there are people who don't have that. and I don't know them, and I've tried not to go out with them. I'm interested in, you know, committed relationships in my life, and I got it wrong many times. But going slow is how you can sort of get past the tendency to not see the red flags or to read too much into it or to take pessimism with you. What I hear here is I think you took some pessimism into this, like you wouldn't, your fear that he just wouldn't like you or be serious about you. I just didn't hear that coming from him until you sort of like, you know, forced him to answer. And he sort of said, well, I can't be forced to say that right now. And that is appropriate for dating for 2 months. You're getting to know somebody. There's such a thing as people who make a commitment very quickly. They just know it's the right one. There is such a thing, but more often than not, especially with people who have CPTSD, rushing in is going to lead to heartbreak. So it's a slow build to get to know somebody. Go slowly. Don't bond with them yet. Don't even sleep together at first. Take your time with that. Get to know them and find out first if they how they feel about you. And if you really feel like you want to have that attachment to them, if you want to be into them that much, the way you're going to be if you sleep with somebody. So it already happened with this person, and there's a way that you can make an adjustment. But let's see what happened here. We didn't speak for a week, and then he wrote to me and asked if he could see me to talk and to give me back some shirts. So the day came, and I was ready for him to end things with me, but he told me he wanted to keep going out. I told him that I thought that wasn't a good idea, that I had noticed I was being selfish the last time. Selfish? This sounds very distorted. It's totally okay with the childhood you had. I can just see how you just seem to be trying to guess what the emotional reality here is and trying to guess how you should be in relationship and what you should say. And I think you're punishing yourself for feeling like you expect too much from him. And he keeps surprising you, like he wasn't leaving you. He was just giving you some shirts. In fact, it sounds to me like he was trying to get an excuse to see you. And you said it wasn't a good idea to keep going out. And the last time we talked, you were trying to regulate your emotions and thoughts about us with his feedback, and that you didn't want to be selfish with him. I don't think that's what it is. You don't want to be rejected by him, is what it is. You don't want him. You're afraid he's being selfish. If I'm reading you correctly, you're trying to, you feel very out of control. You're trying to sort of grab a narrative that you think puts you in control, except the whole thing is dishonest. You love him. You want to keep going out with him. Here's the problem. And you're sabotaging yourself. But since it's the case that I do have insecurities and fears, I felt that every time I talk about something similar, he shuts down and goes silent. We can't go on. Okay, you're not going to like this, but you're being a bit manipulative here. You're being overly harsh with him. But you're just, I think what you're trying to say is, I have insecurities and fears, and I need to talk about these things more often than we did without having you shut down. But I'm wondering if you ever talked about it without sort of making threats and going, we're just friends with benefits. That's kind of a threat for somebody who actually is into you. So he asked me, you say, what he was missing. So he's wondering, like, why aren't you into me? And I said he wasn't missing anything. So he said that he didn't understand then why I thought I didn't want, why he didn't want to be with me or why I thought he was going to leave. And at that moment, I couldn't say more than because I feel it. While thinking, you can't even say the contrary. See, but that's not fair. So you were feeling it. You had fear that you're going to get left. And, you know, statistically, that can happen. That's not crazy, but I don't think that's what was happening. That's not where he was coming from. You're saying, but he wouldn't even say the contrary. So you were testing him to go, you don't even care about me. And then you're like, is he going to say, yes, I do? But he's just, you know, I think it's entirely possible. He's just put off. He's hurt. He's like, what is this? Why are you treating me like this? I told him that I felt that if we kept going out of fear, he would stay the same and that I would fall even more. And then he slightly irritated said, okay, look, I don't want to force you to do anything and I won't force myself to do it. I told him I didn't want to force him either, and then we parted. So it sounds, what I'm hearing there, if I'm hearing you correctly, is you were trying to force him to make this assertion that he wants to be with you, and you were putting him on the spot, if you keep going, you know, you're going to fall more and he won't be into it. And he's just noticing he can't really promise that he's going to fall in love with you. He's just dating you right now. What I want to teach you, Carla, is the difference between dating and being in a relationship. So you were dating a guy and it was going pretty well, but your heart was having a relationship. And how would you know that with your crappy parents and how they didn't take care of you? How would you even know? So you get to know now. You're with us now, and we can help you. I'm going to talk you through this. You were dating. You were not in a relationship. And it's understandable, especially because it was dating with sex, that you, it's like your mind and your heart and your body are like in a relationship. That's just how it works for some of us. It's more common in women than men. It's more common in traumatized people than non-traumatized people. So you've won the lottery. You're a bonder. You feel connected to somebody through sex. Which is why I say if you go slow, you don't have that bond that ends up leaving you like, what even is this relationship? Oh gosh, now I love you. Now I'm connected to you. Now I'm going to like break down if it doesn't work out. And I know that's not right. So I'm ashamed and I have to hide how I feel. That's kind of how I interpret your actions here. So you said, not once he told me, I want to be with you. Not once he told me that he could consider a relationship with me without buts, or that he was willing to keep trying with me while recognizing my feelings and knowing that both of us are wounded in different ways and with different fears. I was willing to make the effort to accommodate, and I felt he wasn't willing even to try and understand me. So maybe this is a thing with him, that he's kind of avoidant, that he's uncomfortable with these emotional conversations. But a little bit, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because you're being overly harsh. You're being a little bit manipulative there, and I mean that in the nicest way, but you're trying to get him to say something by saying something mean. You don't love me. Yes, I do. Well, he didn't say that. He must not. So you're trying to measure his worth and what his intentions are and how good he is by whether he passed this test that was way too much for a two months of dating relationship. You know, here's the thing about partners and relationships. It's not really their job to, it is their job to listen. It is their job to observe your boundaries. It is their job to be honest with you. But it's not their job to understand all the reasons why you feel the way you feel. I think you could do a lot better dating without putting this huge expectation that people have this deep parent-like understanding with you. Instead, you can use dating to get to know somebody and to let information come to you about, who are they? What are they? How do they feel about you? Let them tell you. You don't have to drag it out of them. It's interesting. I was just talking to a friend about this yesterday. You don't have to go questing to find out how they feel. You just have to sit back and observe. It helps a lot if you're not sleeping with the person. You can keep your expectations moderate and just notice, like, how do they act towards me? How often do they call? Do they follow through? If they say they're going to call this weekend, do they? And you can start to observe and notice, how do I feel when I'm waiting for them to call? How do I feel when I'm around them? These are your cues that it might be worth going a little next step with them. So that's dating. That's dating. You said, I know he doesn't feel the same way I do, since he told me I can't force myself to feel more for you. And again, I think that makes sense. It's 2 months in. But still, I can't be satisfied with my decision, Carla says. I miss him, and I can't shake the fact that he wanted to keep seeing me and that there was still a lot of care and affection. So this reminds me on some levels of letters I get from people who have been dating somebody who tells them flat out, I don't want a relationship. This is just friends with benefits. They shock them with this news that that's how they see them. Oh no, this is never going anywhere. And then the letter writers write to me and say, oh, but I can't stop thinking about them. I just think somehow if I were different. It's one thing if they said they weren't interested, but this guy kept saying he was interested. He just wasn't like all the way in a relationship with you yet. So in your case, Clara, I think there might be some unfinished business here. I think you may have left too early, and this is not just a simple matter of correcting the record. You know, I think it's time for you to be working on yourself with a therapist or in my program or a 12-step program, but something where you're getting help to process your emotions and get a reality check, so you're not coming in hot when you're scared, when you're worried you're going to get abandoned, because you have an abandonment wound. Abandonment wounds are hard to deal with. And what's a really good thing to do is to deal with it in your own time. And then when you're in the early stages of dating somebody, you're not hitting them with this, you're abandoning me, you can't do this, you're mistreating me because I feel this. I think even when people treat us well, the abandonment wound will put us into pain. It's just going to happen. So we got to do a lot of healing to have a successful dating relationship. And if this guy is wonderful, as you say, and the connection you feel, who knows, maybe this can be salvaged. But one thing would be good to be able to tell him and say, I'm sorry that I jumped the gun. I actually really liked you. I wanted this to work out. I couldn't stop thinking about you. I've decided to get help and start working on my emotions because I know that when I went into fear, I just started pushing you away. Another word for this, Carla, is disorganized attachment, where you're really into somebody, but when they're right there, you push them away. Disorganized attachment. It's a very difficult attachment wound to have. It's a style. And it takes a lot of work, like really steady work, to learn to come to the center, not to either rush in with them and not to push them away almost arbitrarily. It will seem arbitrary to them, but not to you. So before we talked, he hugged me and everything was well. His affection always felt sincere, and it hurts to know that maybe if I didn't have my insecurities, maybe if I didn't have a bad history of relationships, I would be content with going out, even if he doesn't call it a relationship, even if he doesn't talk about an us. So yeah, not at 2 months. It's okay. It's okay that he's not doing you wrong there. 2 months. These days, I've been thinking that maybe I should have stayed as long as I get to keep his embrace, which feels like home. I don't have anywhere else. I'm really hurting with my decision, even though I know it was for the best, because I know that if I stayed, things probably would have changed, since he has fear of commitment, and I can't be calm as long as he tells me something he can't say. Something along the words, I want to be with you. I would like to build up from this connection with you. All right, Carla, I'm just going to put in front of you. How about 6 months? If you can date somebody, maybe that's, 3 to 6 months that you date somebody without sleeping with them and then without pressuring them, you just wait to see what they say they feel for you and just see if you hear those words, not with you chasing after them and threatening them. That's a bad way to get that love expressed. All of this feels like a punch in the gut. I feel like I gave him a lot and that he took it with no fear, no disgust, no rejection, and more. And he gave back to me tenderly and passionately. It hurts me that he cannot be direct with his refusal to be in a relationship with me. I think he has been direct. I didn't hear the whole conversation, but he just said, I can't do that yet. And I can't promise that's where it's going. And that is the nature of dating. We date to find out if that's where it's going. Everything feels like interpretations, insinuations, since he wanted to keep seeing me. It felt mutual, and with him by my side, everything felt nice, but I couldn't shake the idea that I was sure I wanted to be with him and that he simply didn't know. It's okay. That's normal. It's normal to know when the other person doesn't know yet. That it felt like he was testing the ground and that my fears were an inconvenience to him. Yeah, because this is the harsh truth. Having CPTSD and having the amount of fear that we have, especially when we're not healed yet, and I think you got some healing to do, it isn't very pleasant to be on the receiving end of that. It's hard because no matter what people say, they can't really fix it for us. Isn't that surprising? No matter what they say, it doesn't, they can't reassure you. It's not realistic for somebody at 2 months to go, I absolutely know you're the one. It has happened to some people. That doesn't mean it's stuck. The slow and steady route is the healthy one. You said you felt like you were in a relationship, but since you couldn't talk about it, it cannot be called that. So no, it's really normal and correct not to call it a relationship yet. This is the first time that I leave a situationship without depleting it. Interesting. Normally I leave when there is nothing left, and I feel like that's what's more troubling. We still care for each other, and both of us wanted to keep going, but with different terms. And I guess it is better this way, so we don't hold more resentment later. But I feel really sad. I've been working on myself after every bad experience, trying to see my mistakes and working on them and on being better and being well while alone, enjoying my company and that of others. But it hurts so much to lose someone over my insecurities and conceptions of love. Yeah. I know I don't ask for something wacky. I just want him to acknowledge we were a relationship and maybe hopefully that he would have enough hope in it to keep building it with me. But even though I know that what I want is valid, I'm still left feeling like I'm too intense. And we spent 3 months together and I didn't want to force anything on him. I held back from expressing too much to not make him feel uncomfortable. No, I think you did make him feel uncomfortable. I just want to give you, like, this is what I hear. Not because you're bad, but just because, you know, you're just you. You have your feelings. And he was uncomfortable. He couldn't go there that fast. But still, I feel like a problem. Like, I'll always end up alone for being too much. Like, I'll always feel more than the other person. And this time I chose to stay back to protect myself, but I keep feeling like it wasn't the right choice. All right. So, Clara, this is what I think. I think this one might be a keeper, and it might be worth apologizing to him while you work on yourself. And if he is willing to talk to you or see you and isn't yet in a new relationship, then maybe you guys can have a chat and see where it goes. And just see if you could, if you agree with me that maybe you jumped the gun on trying to force him to acknowledge it as a relationship when it was still so new, that you could apologize and reset. Just do a reset and say, it's okay if we date. And this time, what you can do differently is not sleep with him. It's going to be very difficult for somebody with your level of attachment wound to pace a relationship when sex is going on. It's sort of like, you know, what is it? The calf is out of the barn. Whoa, you know, all the feelings are going anyway. So you've been apart for a while. You have a chance to slow it down now and see where it is and allow communication to be how this relationship comes together. Now, if he doesn't want to slowly get to know you, maybe there isn't anything there. You can play it by ear. But just consider 3 to 6 months to be a more reasonable window to date somebody, actually reserving your heart. And when you do talk about your feelings, tell the real ones. Now, feelings can be too much. It's true. When we have CPTSD, we can overwhelm people. There's a lot of pain from the past kind of leaking into whatever's hurting us in present time. And people are like, whoa, I don't even know what you're talking about. It doesn't make sense to me that you're feeling this strongly about it. So that's why we come off as too much. You won't always be too much if you work on your healing.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to betterhelp.com/CCF, as in Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's betterhelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.